Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. From the perspective of Costa Rica, I think we can say that there has been criticism of the voluntary nature of this exercise and its recommendations. But in fact, the way we see it, having an exercise which is universal and which treats everyone in the same way and has the participation of civil society, has improved the climate of discussions on human rights. And so it has made it easier for these rights to be implemented on the ground. We have moved away from the perspective of some states having graduated from this course, so to speak, and others still waiting to do this, whereas everyone is in fact involved in the same exercise all the time. We all have to fulfill human rights. We have strengths and we have weaknesses. I think having a basis of common documents in as far as possible is important. I think these are basic documents which are technically very solid. And it means that we've been able to put in place a dialogue between different governments that is very valuable. I think we've moved away from a more acid and confrontational dialogue between states. And today we can have a policy dialogue between states, which is more factual, it's transparent, it's non-selective and constructive. It avoids confrontation and subjective politicization. And this is progress. We use fewer adjectives now and more nouns. Now, this is a consolidated reporting exercise. And being so, we're moving nearer to this ethos that we agreed at the Vienna conference. In other words, universality, interdependency, indivisibility, and interrelationship between all human rights. And this is a tremendous achievement as well. It's an exercise which promotes greater political and institutional visibility of the whole range of international obligations that we, the states, have. So I think it actually creates a greater awareness in public officials and in public policy itself, a greater awareness of these obligations and everything that they entail. So I think we can say that we're facing a much better situation now than what we had previously, and it's something that fosters national implementation. However, I think we shouldn't think that the UPR per se can engender an improvement of the situation on the ground in all cases. I think there are some intermediate situations that have to be analyzed. I think we very often mentioned the need for an existence of a mechanism for the reporting and implementation of recommendations. But in the analysis that we've been carrying out as a country, we've also found that human rights need an institutional and legislative structure. Any society needs infrastructure, the bridges, the roads that allows you to develop. Obviously, we believe that there has to be the rule of law. There have to be capacities in place to make sure that we can fill our human rights obligations. But we also have to make sure that there is protection when there are human rights violations, be these violations committed by individuals or by states against individuals. So I think it's very good that in these first two cycles, the process has focused on strengthening itself from the inside. But this third cycle is a great opportunity for us to find even greater complementarity with the work that other human rights mechanisms are doing. We have to provide added value and we have to promote full cooperation with other human rights bodies and with the Office of the High Commissioner. And this is in fact something that Resolution 5.1 of the Council envisaged itself.